And now in the last part of this program, let's listen to an excerpt of a presentation made in the National Bhajan Workshop held in Vrindavan Ashram in Bangalore in June 2013. In this short clip, Amey and Siddharth share their reflections on Sai Bhajans.
In fact, you know, music has even these curative properties, amazing curative properties. And I was just listening to this one other experience, such a beautiful experience. There was this lady who had a young son who was slightly mentally challenged. He's going through a really tough time in his life. He's a schizophrenic. He can get extremely violent. And this violence can take, you know, enormous proportions. It has happened that he's even beaten up his own father when he gets into that mode. Extremely violent. And it is said that this boy was never allowed to go anywhere alone. Someone always has to be with him. Except one place. There's one place that he is able to go alone and come back. And that is the Sundaram Mandir in Chennai, for attending the evening bhajans. And it so happened, it seems, once he was supposed to go on a long haul flight from Chennai to the United States. And he was traveling alone. For some reason, he had to travel alone. You can imagine the amount of trepidation and apprehension that the parents would have gone through sending a boy like this. He's a 6'2" person with about 90 kgs, it seems. You can imagine if his hand falls on us, what will happen. Okay, imagine the co-passengers, how much they must have prayed. This person was supposed to travel all alone from Chennai to United States, a 22-hour flight. And you know what he was armed with? He was armed with an MP3 player full of bhajans, and his mother simply put those earphones around his ears and said, "Go, you will reach." And that boy reached the United States with absolutely no issues to anyone. That is the power of music. That is the power of music when coupled with devotion. That the curative properties that music has is, you know, so beautifully brought out. And I was stunned.
But we're talking about an experience of someone else. And it just hit me that I could probably share my own story with all my brothers and sisters here and elders here. When I was in class 10, I don't come from a family of Sai devotees. As in, I was not born into a family of Sai devotees. Somewhere along the line, Swami decided to enter our lives. And even then, it was still much too late for me. I was too old to join Bal Vikas classes. I had no idea about any of it. I don't come from a family of singers, musicians, nothing of that sort. Nobody in my family is trained in music. And somewhere when I was in my adolescence, in class 10, I can be honest about it because I've come past that now, so I don't mind sharing it. But somewhere when I was in class 10, I was being a typical city-bred adolescent boy who wanted to grow up to be a man. And his house was, people at home were still saying, "You're a boy, you're not a man." But I was revolting at everything. I was revolting for everything, and my academics was taking a hit. And since it was 10th class, my parents were absolutely at their wit's end as to what they should do with me. And nothing could get me to listen to them, and they didn't know what I was going to do in the future. I didn't know what I wanted to do in the future. So when all this is going on, I can assure you that this is the darkest phase of my life till now. And a cousin of mine who had the privilege of studying in Swami's institution, he just came home one day, and my mother, looks like my mother had told him about it, that, you know, I'm giving them trouble. And so she asked him to come home and just talk to me. And he gave me one cassette. He just said, "Just listen to this." And I just played the cassette. It had 10 mandir bhajans, about 10 bhajans in number. I can tell you the sequence of the bhajans as well. I just heard that. I don't know. I can't explain to you what it did to me, but it just took me somewhere else. And then I just started following those bhajans. And that's when I realized I can actually sing. And that is just Swami's gift to me that, okay, I think if I have to bring you closer, I need to do something to you. I think I'll take you closer to me through bhajans. I was just stuck with the cassette, and I would listen to nothing else. I would listen to nothing else, and I just started singing. And then one thing led to another. Somebody invited me to the local samiti. I went to the local samiti, and within 1 year I found a teacher, somebody who would guide me in Chennai. And then he put me on to the Sundaram Bhajan group. And in 2 years, from nowhere, 3 years after that, I was singing in front of Swami. And the only thing I wanted then was, Swami, I want to sing in front of you. Like these people are singing in front of you, I want to sing in front of you at least once. And the first time happened in Vrindavan in 2004, for Tamil New Year's Day. And from then on, my prayer was, Swami, I want to sing more. One won't do. I'm not going to be happy with just once. And he made me a student of his, and he gives me the opportunity. Today, I sing in Mandir. I'm still probably the weakest in terms of technical knowledge. I don't have any technical knowledge, but I know that that day, Sai Bhajans, it changed my life. Music changed my life. So, I'm getting a little emotional now, but I can tell you of my own experience that if I stand here in front of you, and if you people are feeling I'm worthy enough to stand here in front of all of you, in front of all of you elders, it's the bhajans which I have been a part of, or which has become a part of me, that has given me that worthiness. Nothing else.
So that was Amay and Siddhartha, both serving as faculty members in Bhagwan's University here in Prashanthi Nilayam.